talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marian way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange, read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on, turn on, I'm in, is on today, the Exchange Club.
And good afternoon. Friday, December 28th, 2018, the last Friday in December and the last Friday of 2018, which makes it a real getaway Friday. Exchange Club here, Charlie Evers, Brandy Downs, Marge Hazelit. We're going to have a good time today, but I do want to remind you, today we have some special programming coming up at 5:10, WWGH, a look back, the year in review 2018, hosted and produced by Adam Lepp. And then at 6:10, people we've lost in 2018, we'll remember them by listening back to some of their interviews that they did over the five-year history here at WWGH Radio. Roy Clark, Charlotte Ray, Robin Leach, and many others. Also hosted and produced by Adam Lepp, 5:10 and 6 p.m. tonight. That's why we tape everything. Everybody, everything's here forever. So you listen to those tonight. And Charlie's grandson will be in today.
That's right.
From 1 to 3 following this program.
Right.
So you won't want to miss that. All right. Brandy, how was the eggnog?
I did not get to make the eggnog.
Now, see, you all the way back to Thanksgiving said, I'm going to do it. It's going to be fine, Scott. It's going to be wonderful. All in here.
Our oven broke.
Oh, you're not the only one. I had an oven issue myself.
I remember. I felt like maybe that was a karma for me teasing you about your oven incident. Yes, but I fixed it. It's working now. So
you fixed the oven?
I fixed the oven.
What happened?
Well, I'm not exactly sure. My husband was using the oven, which he rarely does. And
uh-oh,
all of a sudden, he started screaming, fire, fire.
Oh, see?
And so I run in, because that's what I do. I run towards danger, not away from it.
Oh, that's bad. You're supposed to run the opposite direction.
And I grabbed the fire extinguisher, but it wasn't an actual fire. I think something that he was cooking had dropped onto the bake element.
Yeah.
Our oven is old. It's probably older than I am. And the bake element broke trying to burn through whatever had dropped on it. So, there was smoke, but not a ton.
But how did this stop you from making the eggnog?
Because then my husband would not let anybody touch the oven or the stove because he was afraid that we were all going to die.
Well,
so,
don't you have like a hot plate or an electric skillet?
No.
You don't have anything like that?
No.
So you couldn't make the egg. Does the eggnog have to be heated up?
Well, I told you I was going to heat the eggs to 160 just to make sure.
So it didn't happen?
No, it didn't happen.
Oh, all that build up for nothing.
I did let my kids taste eggnog. They did not enjoy it.
They had never even tried eggnog?
They had never tried it. They wanted to make homemade eggnog. That was the whole purpose. I didn't want to make it. But they wanted to make homemade eggnog.
See, Marge?
And then they didn't even like it.
We talked about this. I knew it wouldn't happen.
You were right.
I was right.
I saw
trouble in the future.
That's good, though. You had a fire extinguisher.
Oh, yes.
Was it a CO2 or dry powder? Or?
Oh, geez. I don't remember.
Well, what was left in your oven?
Said, a broken bake element?
No, I mean when you sprayed it. Did you spray it?
Oh, I didn't have to spray it. No.
Oh, okay.
No. I just, we kept the oven closed, and it wasn't like an actual fire. What happened was the piece
dropped
where the bake
the
element,
element
had broke was, flaming out its last dying breath, and then it was already fading by
there's,
the time I...
There's
oh boy.
Always next year. There's always next year with that sort of thing.
We start in July.
All right. Well, let's see here what we got. Go ahead, caller. Are you there? Nope, I think we lost it. Well, maybe we will try that later on.
Calling saying, why would you tell me?
Why would you talk about that? 740-383-9944. Phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. Okay. The new year's around the corner. Charlie, what do you remember from 2018? Personal.
I'd have to think for a while. I don't know. I kept
you write
record.
It down.
Yeah, I got it in my book here, but I can't recall.
Well, broadcast-wise, you and I had a great time at the Bratwurst Festival.
That's right. That was one of the highlights.
Yes, sure. It certainly was.
We had plenty of bratwurst and interviews with young ladies who were very good, very kind, and
dirndles, a lot of dirndles.
Yes.
It was a wonderful day.
It sure was.
And Carly kept bringing down the bratwurst.
That's right.
And they were delicious. And I got you a cream puff.
Oh, boy.
We had a good day. We were on the air for how long that?
Three
Five
hours.
Four. Longer. I think four.
A long time, yeah.
And the rain stopped just
stopped.
For us.
Just as we were
just for us. Absolutely.
You know, in with the Rain Man.
Yes, we were. So that was a good day.
But in order to get there, I had to walk through high wind and rain, and then it stopped once I got there.
I remember seeing, I had gotten there a little early to set up the equipment. Then I saw you coming with a umbrella, and it was not helping.
No.
It was a little rough that day.
It sure was.
But it did clear up right before we went on the air. 4 hours. That's in the repeats, by the way. I invite people to listen to that broadcast.
Oh, that's good.
What's on the website? On the archives.
I talked to Carla the other day. I was over at Carly's. She's the one that brought us the...
Very nice woman.
Yeah.
And we talked to the police chief that way.
That's right. Her husband's the police chief.
We had the coroner on Bucyrus.
Oh.
That day.
Did we?
On that day. And also, there's a plaque over here, on paper, something like that. WWGH Day in LaRue. Now, that was fun.
Oh.
I remember that broadcast. We went over in Cooney's and found out that most people like to pronounce it LaRue, but it's actually LaRue. But the mayor, Milton Lightfoot, came over, and in this town of 65 people, we got WWGH Day in LaRue. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I wasn't at that occasion, but I did the same thing like 30 years ago from the same place.
Did you have Milton on? He's been the mayor for over 30 years.
I think so. I had everybody, the whole town.
Well, they were there that day because the Oorang Moorang was the next day, and they gave us a free square on the cow plop.
One day I was in LaRue at the Oorang Bang. I was with Jim Thorpe's daughter. She was quite elderly. I think she passed away now.
It was an interesting... that was a fun time. Marge, we've had many fun times this year. We were at the fair.
Oh, we were at the fair.
We were at the fair
right.
this past year, absolutely. Yeah. So we did a lot of interesting things. Your show moved to Fridays from Mondays.
Oh, I moved around all the time.
We moved around. Brandy, what did we do with you? You kind of came late.
Yes, I did. We met at the fair.
We did meet at the fair. Yep. Yes, we did. We met at the fair. And you came. When did you start on this show?
September, maybe?
September?
Yeah,
the
somewhere in
fall
there.
Season. Yeah. Now, do you have a memory that sticks out?
Well, I think my first time on here, the 2 hours, I was not prepared for that.
That was fun, wasn't it? You did just fine. You know, somebody told me, and I won't say who it was, but this isn't bad. Somebody told me that you, on this show, because there are four of us, sometimes you feel you don't get enough time to speak.
What?
No, somebody told me that. Maybe
it's... No.
You feel
that's
like you
not
get,
true.
Okay, well, I don't know.
I think I get more than my share.
I was trying to clear the way for you today and just let you have the whole thing.
No, I think I get more than my share, probably.
Any New Year's resolutions?
No, I never, never.
Never, none?
No.
Nope, I don't believe in them either. So there you go. That's the year that was, and hopefully people will have a great 2019. Be safe and happy this coming week. And here's something, because the main new resolution every year is to lose weight. Now there's
I think I better lose weight.
I think you're okay, Marge.
You'll do a disappearing act if you do.
But here's something interesting. Apparently, it takes 6 months just to get the holiday weight off. Just the weight you gain from Thanksgiving to New Year's, it takes you 6 months to get rid of that weight. So that, you know, I think it's set up to fail. I think the New Year's resolution of weight loss.
I don't know. I doubt if many people really succeed in losing weight.
Right. That's what I think.
They buy all this equipment, then they sell it right away.
Right.
You don't want to pedal that stupid thing.
No, people don't want those recumbent bikes or those treadmills.
Treadmills.
That's nonsense. People don't like that. What do you think, Brandy?
I think you need to go into it with realistic expectations and find something that you actually enjoy doing.
If you enjoy doing it, wouldn't you already be doing it?
Well, I think it's, you know, sometimes you try new things, and that's important, and you don't always know whether or not you're going to like it. But to go in and say, oh, I'm going to, you know, weightlift 3 days a week for this year. Well, if you've never weightlifted before, you may not enjoy it.
Yeah,
you know, so it's important to
who
try
enjoys
some things.
That?
I
who
do. I actually enjoy weightlifting.
How much weight do you lift?
Probably not as much as you could.
No, I don't know. I don't get it.
Depends on the exercise.
I just see that. Again, that whole thing, I believe, is social. We had that discussion a few weeks ago. I think the gym, I think it's a social thing.
But I don't go to the gym. I do it in my own home.
What do you lift? Do you have barbells at home?
I have dumbbells and kettlebells.
What's the difference between a barbell and a dumbbell?
Well, dumbbells you hold individually. Barbells, you have a bar that holds the weights on each end. So the load is a little bit different.
If I
much.
Only knew the lingo. What do you think, Marge?
I have no clue.
Neither do I. But it'll take you 6 months. So whatever weight you put on, you've got 6 months to get it off. So you'll get it off in July.
If I get 6 more pounds off, I won't be here.
No, you'll be here, Marge. You're not going on that diet. This is an interesting kind of broad subject. Scientists have now discovered that there is a gene that makes you happy. That Ooh. You are born with a gene. Some people are not born with this gene, but it's an isolated gene, and it makes you happy. And I read this story, and I was thinking, I'm happy, but I don't know if I was born that way or not. I can't remember. So, I don't know. I mean, genetics are a very important subject
yes.
that we don't talk enough about. What do you make of this, Marge, being in this scientific profession?
I don't know.
Do you think there's a happy gene?
I hadn't thought about it.
That people are just more disposed to be happy if you have this certain gene.
How am I going to find that out?
Well, I think you have to get one of those genealogy tests done.
Get any more tests done, I'll be tested out.
All right.
I'll have to check and see if mine
now,
says
you,
whether or not.
You probably don't have the gene, Brandy,
probably
right?
Not.
Probably don't have it. No, but I mean, I don't know. You think that's possible, that really all our emotions are gene-controlled?
Well, people have personality. Everybody's a little bit different. We're not all jumping and jiving and, you know, happy-go-lucky.
Well, that's a problem. But so does this mean if we run into somebody who's got a dour attitude that we should just say, well, they probably weren't born with the correct genes?
No, that's hard to deal with. People who are not happy, that have a drudgery outlook on life.
But you can't stop them.
No. But how do you deal with them?
Well, you don't have to include them.
Well.
Those would be my aunts. That's why I don't visit with them. They didn't have the happy gene. What do you think, Brandy? I mean, because I think if you say this is true, then you've got to say people with a dour attitude are probably just lacking the genetic makeup to be happy.
Well, I mean, it's probably not 100% genes. I don't think anything is. And I haven't read enough about the specific happy gene yet to really fully understand, but I think it's probably the gene predisposes you to being happy. If you have a not-so-good mm-hmm. upbringing, you may still fare better than somebody who doesn't have the gene, but it doesn't mean that you're going to be happy.
Well, see, I don't know about that because I think of like Dave Thomas, who was orphaned, and obviously something in his brain kept him happy, and he created this empire, and he was a happy man. He seemed like a happy man.
How do we measure happiness?
Exactly.
Well, I think positive. I think you know happy when you see it, and I think you know unhappiness when you see it.
In my 80-some years, like Marge, we've come across people of every different attitude.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. I worked with I worked with some dandies.
Well, don't you think that psychotic people... See, this is an interesting discussion because I always say that if you are like a murderer or somebody like that, I think that, of course, you would say you were insane because that's an insane thought. Normal people don't have that thought to murder people. So, hence, to murder would make you insane. I don't think you can be a sane-minded murderer because to murder somebody is an insane thought.
Could you write that down?
Well, that was very simple, Charlie. Well, that was very easy.
You don't think that... I mean, sometimes there are crimes of passion that just, you know, happen. It's not necessarily... You don't go into it with the mindset of a murderer.
No, but there are... Okay, whatever has been done to that person that made them murder the other person has been done to somebody else. Mm-hmm. And they did not murder them. So what is it in that person's makeup that made them snap? See, the ability to snap has to be genetic. There has to be something in your chemical makeup that makes you do that. You know, like a fight. There are some people who, if you say something wrong, they before you finish the sentence,
they're frightened.
They're in your jaw. They've broken your jaw. But some people will just totally blow it off. Now, why is that?
Well, again, I think, and scientists have been debating this for decades, yes, at least, if not centuries, that, you know, nature versus nurture, I think there's probably a mix of the two that goes on in everything about us.
But I don't think murdering is sane. I mean, it, what you know, everybody knows murdering. By the time you're 10 years old, you know you should not murder somebody. So if you do it, why? When other people, the majority of society doesn't murder people.
No, but again, there could be a predisposition to it, right, that is then exacerbated, right, by
which makes them, right, insane.
The nurture part.
Which makes them insane. But it's not sane, maybe, to murder somebody.
But then you can also be predisposed to that sort of thinking, mm-hmm, and not end up hitting somebody, right, or murdering somebody, depending,
right,
on other,
well,
factors.
That's what I say. I think it is brain chemistry. I mean, people can grow up dirt poor with no moralistic upbringing, and one will become a murderer and one not.
Right.
Well, what made that one become a murderer? I think it's because their brain chemistry, much like anxiety and depression and things of that nature, I think that's an insane thought. And an insane thought. I mean, what is insanity? When you go in and declare yourself insane, what is that? I mean, you knew what you were doing to some degree.
Isn't this all Marge's department?
Well, this is, yes, Marge.
What's your thoughts on all this?
First of all, you got to think things through.
Right.
And I'd have to think about each case differently, depending on environment and what have you. I could come out the worst environment and still be a,
sure,
sane person. Or I could come out insane and go into a positive,
exactly,
environment and maybe come out A-OK, I don't know.
Which is why I think the people who actually do go through with the murdering, it's not their environment. They have to be somewhat chemically wrong.
Well, but some of the chemically wrong is environment. There are, just as there are studies that show that there's a happy gene, there are studies that show that if a child is raised in with a certain amount of neglect or whatever, things change in their brains, physically change. You can see it on MRI scans and things like that, where their brain is different than other people's brains. But that's a result of the environment, not genetics.
I don't know if that's true, Marge.
I don't know either. I'd have
I'd have to study that. I'm not sure if that's true because, okay, we talked about Alzheimer's in a jocular way. But Alzheimer's is one of those things that we cannot cure. We're getting a little better at prolonging it. But it doesn't matter if you're a millionaire and were born into a millionaire family or you were dirt poor. If you have that gene and it develops, it develops. Doesn't matter what your situation was. It is going to happen. And I think that's the same thing. That's what this happy gene is implying. It doesn't matter what situation you're born into. I think that's what... There have been people who were very wealthy who've murdered people and very poor who have murdered people. There doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason to any of this except that something chemically is wrong. Like, I mean, how many times have we heard temporary insanity?
Yeah, we hear it quite frequently.
Right.
Going back to the basics, though, what is it in your, and I've asked this before, there's no answer. What is it in your brain? Is it a liquid or is it mush? Where is all this contained in your brain? Your brain isn't solid. Hmm. It's pliable. But is all this memory in liquid or is it in a mushy mixture? It's really solid. Has anyone ever figured this out? I'm sure they have.
Well, I think it's in the mushy part of your brain.
Probably is.
Yeah.
I mean, when you consider everything that we've remembered, everything that we've gained in life is up there somewhere. Is it in liquid form or mush?
Well, what is it? We only use 10% of our brain?
I think they've disproven that.
Yeah,
they've
disproven that?
Yeah,
how do we know which part we use?
I think we actually do use our full brain.
Well, like somebody who has a photographic memory. Now, that's not something you're born into. So how do you get that?
No, I think you sometimes are born into a photographic
memory. No, I mean, you're not. It's not because you learned how to have a photographic memory. You were born that way.
Right.
Right. So I don't know why you can't be born insane. I don't think
you can be.
Right.
I'm not arguing against the fact that some people are born insane. I'm just saying that there's more to it than just being born insane. There are other factors that go into it. It's not just genetics.
I don't know. I think if you, in your mind, could not murder somebody, I don't think there's anything that could drive you to murder them. I don't think so. I think that's wrong because I know I could not murder somebody. Now, manslaughter is different. That's by accident.
Mm-hmm.
But there is no circumstance where I would murder somebody just to be murdering them.
Not just to be murdering them, but there are, I mean, if somebody came and was trying to hurt one of
but
my
that's
children,
self-defense.
It's not self-defense if I'm defending my child.
Right, but you have a reason.
Well, yes.
But I'm saying, would you just walk out in the street and murder somebody?
No, but I don't think that's how most murders happen.
Oh, I don't know about that. Drive-bys and...
There are murders that happen that way, but not...
People,
I don't think it's the majority of
people who break into businesses and shoot the clerk.
But just think here recently about a murder-suicide in Marion.
Yeah.
Where the man killed his wife and slit his own throat.
But we don't know
that
for sure.
Can you imagine slitting your throat yourself?
Well, see, that was what the 911 tape said. I don't think the police have ever said that yet.
Really?
Not to my knowledge. I got the press release on it. Now, the 911 tape does say, but it's not him who's saying it. It's the boyfriend of somebody else, and he's saying that's what happened.
But those circumstances can really egg you on to do things you would normally never do. In marriage where you have somebody running out on you and...
Okay.
And
this is why Scott isn't married.
But you know,
think about this.
I can't kill anybody. So no, the point is though, but like for example, do you remember years ago, it was the famous story, I think she's dead now, but remember that Scarsdale doctor was very famous, he wrote that diet book a few years ago, and he was dating this very well-to-do woman who ran an elocution school, and she found him in bed with another woman, and she killed him. And Dr. Tannhauer, that was his name. He was a famous guy in his day. She killed him. Now, she was an elocution school teacher. She was a well-to-do, good job, financially well. He was a financially well-off person, but he was cheating on her. Now, she...
And that was the trigger.
Right, that's the trigger. But people are cheated on every day. Not everybody pulls the trigger.
Not everybody. A lot of them do.
But she still loved him. I'll never forget. They did interviews with her. What was her name? Jean something. But they did interview, and she would still loved him. She would cry about him. And see, that to me is insane. I think she was not wired correctly her whole life.
I don't necessarily want to talk about it on air, but I was my first marriage. I was threatened to be killed.
Right, and that's not pleasant.
No, it certainly isn't.
Right, but she was probably a little off.
Probably.
There you go.
Yeah.
I think that's all we're saying.
Well, I don't know. I think insanity is... I think we throw that term around a little too loosely without really knowing whether or not somebody is verifiably insane.
Yeah, but I think murder... other things I think are choices. I mean, I think if you steal something, that might be a choice. But murder, you are told from day one that this is a horrible, horrible, horrible thing. It's the only thing I think that is absolutely non-parolable, first-degree murder. It's one of the things that we can kill people for in this country. And I there's just something, because you know what the outcome's going to be. You know it's not going to be a good outcome for you. So why do it? So I think you have to be a little crazy.
What about the thief that goes in and murders the clerk behind the counter
right,
for money?
Right.
And maybe he never did anything like this before in his life.
But could you do that? Could you go in?
Well, no. Usually no one can.
Exactly. So there's something wrong with that person.
You don't know. I mean, there are all kinds of stressors in a person's life that can cause them to do things that they wouldn't normally do otherwise. So we don't know what the stressors may have been. And I'm not making an excuse for murder. There is no excuse for murder. But to say that that person was just wired to be able to murder, I don't think is necessarily accurate, because there are other environmental factors that could go into pushing this person to a point that they otherwise would not have gotten to.
Here's the problem with that argument, in my opinion. Murderers are human beings, and we are human beings too. So yes, technically, we all could go out and murder. If a human can murder somebody, we could murder somebody. But at some point, we make a choice not to do that. And they make a choice to do that. And I don't think that that's mostly situational. Because if it's mostly situational, then there would be a situation where I could murder somebody. And I just don't see that.
Could you be a soldier?
I don't know that that's murder.
Now there's
I'm not saying that it.
Well,
that
we'd have
it
to
is,
call
but,
that murder.
But
I don't
killing
know.
Killing somebody.
We talk about PTSD.
Right.
Suppose you were in combat and you knowingly you had to kill so many, and you're stuck with that scene the rest of your life.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And unless you're mentally stable,
yes,
you can go over the hill.
But again, that is. You're being told to do that in defense of something. If I went out today and accidentally hit somebody with the car, well, yes, I would have killed them. But in my mind, did I set out to do that with a malicious intent? No. And I don't think soldiers have a malicious intent in their mind to take somebody away from their family.
They have orders.
They have orders, right.
But
that's not murder. You don't drive a soldier for murder.
Okay, you've got orders. You go out and kill in combat 10 or 15 people.
Right.
You see them die.
Right.
But that doesn't leave your mind. It stays with you
absolutely.
The rest of your life, whether it's good or bad.
Right. But the murderers, it doesn't. Some murderers go on like a Dahmer, and they continue to eat people again and again.
That's different.
That's
a
different
serial
kind
killer
of,
is.
No,
yes,
that's,
but
yeah.
The guy who goes in to rob a store
different
and
from
kills
who?
The clerk no. may not have gone in with the intent to
but
kill the clerk.
But nobody ordered him to kill the clerk. Nobody said,
no.
End up in the
can
latrine.
Go horribly wrong
by the
in
way,
the
soldiers,
moment.
Soldiers who don't shoot and when they have the opportunity, mm-hmm. they're ordered to be shot. So you know
right.
this is circumstantial. You know, what about the people, the guy who dropped the atomic bomb? Only one nuclear bomb has ever been dropped in the history of the world. Now that guy dropped it. Now is he a murderer? I don't
no,
think
he
so.
He was following orders.
Absolutely. So that is not. I, in my own mind, plan a murder. I set out to murder somebody. If I have a gun and I go into a convenience store, I know there's a chance that... Why am I carrying the gun? Why am I carrying the loaded gun?
Well, maybe they think that it's going to be an issue of self-defense. Maybe they just want to scare somebody. They're not necessarily going in there
I don't
with
think
the
they
intent
plan
to murder
do it,
someone.
But I don't think they plan to do it. But I think this is why some people do and some people don't. All the bank robberies we had in Marion in the last year, thank God, nobody ever killed anybody. And a lot of them were armed, mm-hmm. but they never used it. And I think that's because those people are not murderers. Mm-hmm. But there are people who... Why did Jeffrey Dahmer murder those people? Why did John Wayne Gacy? Why did Jim Jones tell everybody to drink the Kool-Aid?
Because they were nuts.
Bingo.
Yes, a serial
bingo.
Killer
Miley.
Is clearly...
They're insane.
Yes, a serial killer is clearly imbalanced.
Oh, yeah.
But any of those bank robbers who went in with a gun, given the right situation, given the right stressors, may have killed somebody.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, between your brain and that trigger finger...
Well, then don't we have to really consider gun control? if everything is situational and you can be forced at any point to do something, then really, can we really say that people kill, what is it, the line they always use? Guns don't kill people, people kill people. Well, I guess it does matter. The gun does matter, because if you don't have a gun, you can't kill them.
Well, there's more than one way to.
It's a lot harder to
skin a cat.
I mean, well, what are you going to do outside of a gun? I always wondered why isn't the leading cause of murder poison? It's less bloody. It's you don't have to do anything, but it's not. It's gun. Why? Doesn't make any sense to me.
Quicker.
Yeah.
There you go. So it's premeditated in their mind. Nobody brings bleach into the convenience store.
But not everybody that has a gun is premeditating murder.
Right. This is why now they're talking about people's psychological makeup. And they're saying before you get a gun, you need to pass a psychological test.
Good which idea. Is
yes.
Because people are predisposed to be nuts.
Yes, but there are going to be people who pass the psychological test who still end up killing somebody with that gun. That's the way it's going to
but
be.
But I don't
because
know.
Because it isn't all genetics.
There's a triggering mechanism.
Yeah, but some people, it's accidental. You know, some people, I knew a guy was cleaning his gun and killed himself.
Oh, but do you think that woman who went in and killed her lover,
yeah,
do you think she would have passed a psychological background?
No.
You don't
think? Oh, no, do I think she would have in the beginning?
Yes,
she would have.
She would have,
but
she would have been given a gun, and then she still would have killed him.
But she clearly wasn't sane, because even after she killed the man, she still loved him.
But that is, remorse is a sane response.
Is it? If you kill him?
Yes, you should feel
that's
badly
not normal.
About killing somebody.
No, if I kill you and then I feel
you
sad
should,
because I did it, that's not
you
normal.
You shouldn't feel bad about it? Yeah, that's the
no.
normal response if you kill somebody is to feel regret about it.
Well, I should have thought about that beforehand, shouldn't I have?
Well, yeah, you should have. She was wrong. She shouldn't have murdered him. She did a very, very stupid
thing. They wouldn't pardon her, by the way.
But I don't think
wouldn't
she was insane.
Her. I think that was interesting because they tried to get her off on the insane deal that she was temporarily insane, and the governor, Cuomo, in New York would not pardon her. That was a very interesting case because he said she wasn't nuts.
Exactly.
Well, but the person who interviewed her, which was Barbara Walters, like four times from prison, she kept going to the governor and saying, you got to pardon her. She's not right. And I don't think she was right. And she ended up in a mental institution in her later days.
But there's also more that goes into pardoning somebody than just saying they're insane. If they're a danger to the community, why should they be pardoned?
But I don't think she was. If you're saying that this was a circumstantial killing and she only did it because it was her boyfriend, then that's not, unless I wouldn't want to be her boyfriend if she got out. But
it showed that she was capable.
Right.
Right, which is what I think is the point. Some people are capable and some people are not.
I think everybody is capable
given
the right situation.
I don't know.
I don't know either on that.
I have to agree. We'll have to table that one for a minute. But it's an interesting conversation to have. Now, here's an even more. This is scientific for you. Sleeping more than 8 hours might increase your cause for death by a great number. Sleeping more than 8 hours can cause cardiovascular death because your heart beats less. I read the article. Your heart beats less when you're asleep. Your lungs do less work when you're asleep. You don't burn calories when you're asleep. And if you do it more than 8 hours a day, which is a third of the day, apparently this can become problematic and increase your cause for death over years. That's, I guess, why people, when they start to sleep more, they're close to death. Have you ever noticed that?
I've never been able to sleep enough to test
You'll live
that.
Forever, Charlie.
I mean, 3 or 4 hours a day.
You'll live forever. But do you notice when people start to approach the end of their life, they start sleeping a whole lot more? I think that might be true. I think it's an interesting study.
I'm not giving up my sleeping for the sake of living.
You sleep
longer.
More than eight?
No.
Well,
why?
Of course not.
I have four kids.
Worried about it. What are you worried about?
Well, maybe someday, though.
God, you're just
like
argumentative. That's the problem. She's just argumentative.
I would like to get to the point where I could sleep for more than 8 hours.
No, I mean, I'm sure you could sleep in one day if you've went days without sleep. But if you're consistently sleeping more than 8 hours, yes, that probably is some depression in your life. There's a reason that you're wanting to sleep that much.
Maybe you're just tired.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Well, a more interesting subject, and this is kind of interesting. The poll came out yesterday, Gallup poll. Most admired woman How could we miss this story, Charlie? I know. That's all they've talked about. Michelle Obama displacing Hillary Clinton, who had been there for 17 years. Number two on the list is Oprah. Three is Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
Yes. I wish people else were on television, Charlie. Hillary Clinton goes down to number three, and Melania Trump is number four. And the most admired man is President Obama. Second most admired man is President Trump. So there you go.
Well, since no one asked us our opinion, I guess we'll have to agree with that.
Polls are polls, but I don't understand this one. I'm with you, Charlie, on this one. I don't get it. I think it's because she wrote the book, and I think it's because she's out there being a little more forthright than her husband right now. I think that's what did this. I'm not saying Michelle Obama should not be admired. She did some good stuff, but most admired woman in America? I don't know about that.
I don't know how this poll is conducted anyhow.
What do you think, Marge?
I don't know how that.
I mean, I don't know how you could say that she was more admired than Hillary Clinton or Oprah. I mean, I understand why people admire Oprah. Oprah came, whether you like her or not, she came from poverty. She built herself up, and she became a billionaire. And she drives her own horse now. She's got her own television station and her own thing. I think that's admirable. You might not like what she does, but it's something to be admired. And Hillary Clinton, you know, she came from... It's interesting, the top three, Obama...
She came from money.
No.
Hillary.
Her family wasn't rich.
The Rodhams weren't rich?
Her mother was poor, dirt poor. Used to have to clean houses when she was young.
Oh, well.
But it is interesting, by the way, that Michelle Obama, Oprah Winfrey, and Hillary Clinton all have Chicago ties.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Hillary was born in Chicago, Michelle Obama was born in Chicago, and Oprah made her money in Chicago.
Maybe that's where we should be looking for the next great woman.
But now, is Michelle Obama really the most... Who would you put as number one on the list?
I happen to love Michelle Obama.
Well, I think she's nice.
I think that part of the reason that Hillary has fallen to number three is the backlash about her having...
Well, I can't believe she's still on the
lost
list.
Lost the election and people not wanting her to run
but
again.
But last year she was still number one.
Right.
After the election was over.
Well, that was when people were feeling sorry for her.
I'm making a prediction. Just like I said, Hillary would be on the first Murphy Brown and people told me I was nuts. Hillary's going to run again. I'm telling you now.
Yes,
she is one of those... And when she gets in and they say she can't win, you're going to see a whole new Hillary Clinton. You're going to see the one who's going to take no prisoners. She's already said that to some degree. What do you think, Charlie? Who would you pick as the most admired
person?
Why
did they turn down Nancy Pelosi as the number one lady?
Well, who do you think it should be the most admired woman?
Me.
Marge. I would have voted for Marge.
I'll vote for Marge.
I'd have voted for Marge. Who do you think, Charlie? Who should it be?
I have no...
any women in this country you admire?
Like any women.
There's no lady that I would really offhand. What are we basing all this on? Politics or friendliness or
admirability?
Kindness, generous?
I didn't understand. Do you have to be alive? Because I think there are women in history that are probably more admirable.
No, you have
than
to
this.
Be alive.
Do you?
Well, sure.
I don't know.
Ask Gallup what their
you have to be dead to be on
is.
The money. You can't be alive and be on the money.
What time is it?
Not closing time yet, Charlie. Not closing.
4 minutes.
I was trying to think of some woman who is admirable who's not got a... Because he's all four of them have somewhat of a political tie. Mm-hmm. I was trying to think of somebody who's just, you know, a self-made, driven woman.
Well, you won't find them in the news.
Well, no, because you know why? You don't complain about the television that works. You complain about the television that's broken.
Right.
So
exactly.
That's the problem. I don't know. I was trying to think of somebody in Ohio. How about Governor Kasich, though? Ooh, vetoing that heartbeat bill. I couldn't believe that.
Right. You know, they argued on the floor for weeks and weeks on this, and then all of a sudden they pass it, and the governor turns it down.
He's a Republican. He is a very religious man, and for him to veto that, I was shocked. Show you that people can change over time.
One lady, I saw her get up, I don't know how many times. She was from northeastern Ohio, and she ranted and raved and claimed it was a white-black situation, and she wouldn't stop talking. They tried to gavel her to shut up. I don't know if they finally had... She was a
Well, it didn't pass.
An elected representative.
It didn't pass. I mean, for however you feel, I'm not saying it's good or bad. That's for you to decide. But I do think it's very interesting that a Republican governor who... I just found it very strange that he vetoed it. That was a...
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about people who change. For whatever reason he did it, that's a big change.
I don't think it was about change. I think we've had this issue before with these bills passing and then being ruled unconstitutional.
Yeah, but he also vetoed the Stand Your Ground bill, which I thought was interesting.
And well, he has been about gun control lately.
And we have the Supreme Court that ruled on this.
About,
so how can we overrule...
About Roe versus Wade?
Yeah.
Well, but states are changing that now.
Do states have their own laws?
Some of them.
That do not agree with the Constitution?
If this had passed, this would have superseded Roe versus Wade. You could not have done that in Ohio. Which is, like I say, I'm not saying that's right, but I'm saying it's interesting that a Republican governor did it. Because that would be, to me, the most unlikely person.
Why would politics enter that?
Because Republicans tend to be more pro-life and Democrats tend to be more pro-choice. I mean, that's... I think most people see it that way.
And I think he is pro-life.
I think he is.
But I think that he probably knew that it, at some point it's going to be declared unconstitutional, yes, and that's going to waste and time.
But he's not going to be here. What does he care?
And I think he said that very
same
thing. He's
still got a job to do.
I don't think... Well, no, because they overturned his veto in the Congress and
not the
Senate.
Heartbeat.
Not the Senate. Right. Yeah, they did it for the heartbeat.
Yeah.
Yes,
you're
they did
right.
in the Congress.
You're right.
So they don't care. And it would have gone into effect here until they would have taken it to the Supreme Court. And right now, I'm not so sure that that would pass. I think it would pass. I think the Supreme Court right now would say that you can do that. I do believe.
I think we'll find out.
With the last two judges that were put on there, I believe that that absolutely would pass the Supreme Court. So, I don't know. But it's because he stopped it from even going there. And that is a big deal. So, I don't know. Who is the most who is out of politics who is an admirable woman? Somebody who's just a good... For years, I know Mother Teresa would have been on that list.
But who's been prominent as a lady here in this past year that you could look up to?
That's what I'm trying to think.
Well, I mean, does she have to be an American citizen, too?
I don't think...
In the world, what about Malala? The girl who was shot, right?
Yeah, no.
Oh.
Yousefzai, is that her last name? I'm sorry
incorrectly. I think, I think the Queen of England.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think she handled herself beautifully during that wedding. And what about that girl? Meghan Markle. That was very, what a story that is. I think that's to be admired.
Well, she married somebody, though. What?
She married the prince.
But it's
until
just a marriage.
Time.
What has she done that has been super admirable?
She dared to be different.
She definitely, yes, and she definitely is a role model for girls. But as the most admirable woman in the world,
well,
I don't
what has
know
Michelle
about that.
Obama done in the last year besides write a book?
Well, I think she has been an activist for all sorts of things. I don't think she just...
I'm going to get hate mail over this. I shouldn't have said that.
Don't worry, guys. I'll send him a million links after this.
Oh, my. No, but I mean, I think the book did it. I mean, she was very honest in her book and said a lot of things that were very critical of
Didn't
people.
Hillary write a book, too, in the past year?
No. She wrote it in 2017. That's why she was 2017's most admired person.
Maybe.
And for 17 years. I think that Nikki Haley, now she's political, but not right now, but I think she's...
I think she's laying low for a while.
I think so, too. I think that there are some people who've done some stuff that I think are admirable. I don't know why they wouldn't be. But that's who's your most admirable person for 2018. I don't know why they do those polls, though, because what's the... I don't know what the criteria is. Like, the first lady is always on the list. Whoever the first lady is, she always makes the list. And so did Melania. She's number four.
Americans because they were very prominent.
Yeah.
Yeah, but do people really admire the first women over the years? I mean, did people admire Laura Bush?
I think
did people
so.
Admire...
They drive fashion. They drive... Yeah. They
I don't,
drive all kinds
I,
of things
Rosalind
in our society.
Carter. I don't think so.
I don't remember Rosalind Carter.
Well, we've had very strong first ladies since you've been alive, I guess, is that, you know, like Nancy Reagan and Barbara Bush and Hillary Clinton and, well, but Laura Bush. Really, what was Laura Bush? You know, I mean, she was on the list when she was first lady, but was there really, she's a nice woman.
And her main role was to be a kind wife.
And I think that's Martha the Stewart. Thing that the first lady sort of sets the tone.
What about Martha Stewart? She's been to the clink. She got out. She's
I don't
still
know if that's
baking.
Something to be admired.
Well, no, because she rebuilt herself right back up, and she's got magazines in the store again, and I think that's admirable.
Is she on the list at all?
No, and that's
she's
sad.
On TV all the time.
Right. She's rebuilt herself right up from the ground, and I think that's admirable.
I think so, too.
Yeah. So I think Martha is... I mean, that's tough. When you have a record like that, that can be very, very difficult. Well, we're just about to run out of time here. So I tell you what, we're going to wrap it up for the day. And Charlie, you've got your
yes.
grandson.
Brandon, my grandson, will be with us.
Oh, ooh, take
May
the call
I
here.
Stay for that for a little while?
Yes.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
I just love that kid.
Marge?
Uh-huh, Marge Hazlett.
Yeah, she's right here.
Hi.
Hi, Marge. It's Millie.
Oh, hi, Millie.
I was trying to get a hold of you. What time does your program end?
It's just ended.
Oh. Okay, so if I call you back, we won't be on the air?
Right.
Okay, when should I call you back?
Just about 10 seconds.
Okay, is that Charlie?
Yeah, Charlie's here.
Oh.
That's
I was just
going to
say hi to him. That's all.
No, he heard you.
Well, we're going off the air, and we'll be back in 10 minutes.
This is Patty Wooster with Marion Midget Football, a staple of the Marion community for over 45 years, providing